If you don't buy a ticket, you don't win the raffle. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Athlete Podcast, sponsored by Sports for Champions. Today, we are lucky enough to be joined by Manchester United and Burnley footballer Ella Kinzett. How are you today, Ella?
I'm really good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Thank you so much for joining us today. As a Man United fan, I've been really looking forward to getting you in, so thanks for that. If we could start, were you always athletic as a kid?
Yeah, like I love being outside. When I came in from school, I was always outside in the garden playing football. So yeah, I just love like running around basically. I was quite small, but I had a lot of like ambition and always wanted to. I was quite competitive, so I always put myself like in sporting situations really.
Would you say you came from a sporting family?
Yeah, both my parents were quite sporty. And my brother's a bit sporty as well.
When did you first realise you had a bit of talent with football?
I think when I was about 7 or 8, I was playing in a boys team, and it's like the same league like every year, so you're playing against the same teams, and I'd always be recognised by like the other boys as like that the girl who plays football, and they'd always try and tackle me. I want to tackle me more than like the boys as well, so I think that's when I knew, when I was doing quite well against the boys, that I maybe had a bit of a talent.
How do you feel that sort of attitude was to girls at that time? Presumably there wasn't too many in the league.
No, I think I was the only girl in the league. They didn't like it when like I would either tackle them or go past them. Not so much the boys themselves, but like the parents on the sidelines of the boys. So yeah, the
parents. What would they say?
They were like, oh, like don't let a girl tackle you like that or something. But I tended to just block it out because it kind of was like motivation for me, because it was like I've got in their heads now, like the parents are getting annoyed, like, and I was just enjoying football and just playing.
Do you think that gave you a bit of an edge in the games?
Yeah, like when I tackled one of the boys, I think I've played against some, they used to just like sit down on the floor and just get upset about it.
Really? You retired them?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Do you remember much about your style of play at that age?
I was quite an unselfish player, so I was like a pass and move player, so I wouldn't really like dribble through a lot of them. But yeah, like we had a lot of the boys, it was like in my class, so I'd play with them at like lunchtime in school and at break time, so we had quite a good connection, so we were like just pass and move team really.
Wow. And then so I think you were about, was it 9 years old when you first went for trials at Man United?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was really scary. I hadn't done anything like it before, because it was like my comfort zone was playing in the boys team, that I knew all the boys, and I was turning up to this trial like thinking I'm not good enough to be here. So it was, I think it was 3 weeks of trials, but it was like every Monday, and I turned up and on the first trial I was actually sick because I was like that nervous about going.
Wow.
But yeah, I think on the second trial, I said to my dad, I think I've got a chance here. And then it was on the last trial when I thought, like, I've got to give everything here, because this is the last time, like the last trial before they make the decision. And I remember the coach at the time, he was like, I'm gonna ban you from passing the ball. So I was playing with girls that I'd never played before, because I would just pass the ball and move because it's what I was used to. But he wanted to see me on the ball, like technically. So I remember saying to all the girls, like, I'm really sorry, but I'm gonna have to just dribble with it. Like, I didn't want to give the ball away. I hate giving the ball away. And they were all really understanding about it. And the coach was just like, yeah, I just want you to like show us what you've got dribbling.
It's quite unusual for someone, especially at that age, to be so unselfish. You genuinely, everyone grows up trying to be a winger and looking at Ronaldo and stuff like that. And what do you think it is about you that kind of makes you sort of want to pass a move and be more of a team player?
I think it's because, like, I think I'd recognised my own strength. Like, I wasn't really like a fast winger or like a skillful dribbler. I was just quite like technically good, like my first touch. So I just thought, like, I'm not going to lose the ball and try and dribble through and be, like, the star player when I know there's people in my team that's them. And I just didn't like losing the ball at all. Like, I wanted to... Like, it was like a win for me when, you know, you make a successful pass and then if I lost the ball in the game, I thought I've had a bad game because I've lost the ball.
Yeah, it makes sense. And how does the trial format actually work? Presumably it's not just like a big free-for-all game. Do you do drills and things like that?
So we turned up and it's like we were in a big room. I think there was about 50 of us on the first day. And you get split into teams just so it's easier for you to see like and locate the player. And then we did drills, like small-sided games and stuff. And you play, like the winners play each other. And then I remember on the last day there was a big 11v11, even though we were only like 10, like 9 and 10. There was a big 11v11 and you knew that was the pitch that they were looking at. Like that was the focus pitch. And then the people on the other pitch was like, they were just playing, like none of the coaches were watching them. And I was the last player to be put on the focus pitch. And I could see I was stood with two of the girls who were made to retrial from the team because they were in the full kit and everything from the last year, and I could just see them and thinking I've not made it in because there's two girls that were on the team last year. And then they put me on the pitch and I was like, oh wow, like I was just really surprised about it.
Did you play well?
Yeah, I think I did play well. I don't really remember a lot about it, but I remember my dad saying to me, because the parents could watch like from the balcony, like, oh, you've played well there.
Oh, that's good. And then presumably, did you get a call? Was it an email? Did someone knock on the door? How does that work?
I got a letter sent through.
Right.
I was at school and it got sent to my house, so my mum was at home. And she wanted to like ring the school and just to tell me the news. And then I got home and I remember going into the garden. Like I just went into the garden, just like started kicking a ball around. And my mum was like you've got in. Like you've made it.
Man, how did that go down in the house?
Oh, like, everyone was buzzing for me. For me, it was quite overwhelming because I just used to like playing with my mates, kicking around, whereas this was like quite serious. Like it was like the next step. But then like it took a few days to sink in, but then I was really looking forward to it.
And then do you remember those sort of first few training sessions? Yeah. Do you go to Carrington? How does that work?
So we trained at Eccles Sixth Form College. So it was just like on a 3G pitch. And I think we trained like 5 o'clock till 7:30, and my dad was driving me. And I remember on the first day, like it was on 3G, so you wear like blades, like studs, not metals, but just like plastics. And I bought the flat like indoor shoes, so I was just like, oh, like this has started off really badly.
Start, yeah.
So I was slipping all over the place in the first session, and I said to my dad, I'm gonna have to get some new boots because I don't think I can play in these. And then like, because he like treated me afterwards, he's like, oh, I'll pay for them. Obviously I was like 9, so I think he was gonna pay for them anyway, but it's like because you've got it. So yeah, it was quite daunting because they'd all played with each other. A lot of them were there since they were like 7 and 6, so having new players coming in, it was quite different.
I can imagine. So you're saying about your dad there, I think you're from Manchester, aren't you?
Yeah.
But you're not a United supporting family. No. Tell me a bit about that.
So my dad supports Spurs. He used to play football, he's from like Somerset, and he just really liked Glenn Hoddle, so he just decided to support Spurs.
He's a top man, to be fair. Yeah,
and then my mum's side of the family, they're all from like North East, so my mum supports Middlesbrough.
Right, so you'd be a United fan then, naturally.
Well, I actually support City.
City fan. I mean, that must be... You must be the only City fan on the team, are you?
Surprisingly, when I was in, like, the under-16s, there wasn't many United fans.
Right, okay.
We had a lot of players from, like, Lancashire, so we had a few Burnley supporters.
Wow.
And then there was probably about 4 or 5 of us that were City fans.
Really? I mean, I guess we're of a slightly different generation where I just don't know any City fans, but
really?
I guess after the success they've had recently, maybe there's a few more seeping in.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of like jumping on the bandwagon of like winning the leagues.
Exactly.
And stuff like that.
Yeah, I'll take that. So you kind of established yourself at United. What level was that then when you first go in? Is it like under 12s?
It was the under 11s.
Right.
So I had 1 year at the under 11s because I'm with like a younger one in my year, so in the pre-season I turned 10, and then you've got to move up age group, so then it was like moving up to the under 13s when I was 10.
Ah,
so I feel like I was always kind of like an age group below everyone else.
Yeah, so you'd be like the youngest of the next lot coming through. And then I think it was probably a couple of years after that you were picked up by England to go and join up with, I'm not sure, what was the level that you went straight in with England?
So they're like national camps in the under-14s where you go down, there's various different places. A lot of mine were at Warwick, like university campus, you know, all this, like the sports facilities. Mm-hmm. And you'd go down there on like a Friday, get dropped off, and then you'd stay until the Sunday. So it's like a 3-day training camp.
Right.
So yeah, I think I did all 5 of them, or 4 of them in that under-14s age group, yeah.
How did you find it joining up with the England team? I imagine that's another step up again then.
Yeah, so you're playing with like the best players in the country at your age, so like the training sessions was just a different intensity, like something that I wasn't used to. But it's really good, like you form great friendships when you're on there because you're with them all the time. So, and you know, like you have roommates and stuff, and then it's kind of the similar girls go back each time, so then after a season, like you know them all really well. So then when you're playing them in the leagues, you're like, you've got all your friends in the different teams and stuff.
It can only be good for the team, I suppose, if you all get to know each other and go through the age ranks together.
Yeah.
When did you make your sort of international debut?
So I was in the under-16s. And it was at Bisham Abbey, and we played against Ireland, and it was kind of like a double header. So we had like a big squad. We had like one team played them first, and then a completely different team played them again afterwards. And that was like my first time being involved in like a match day squad, so it was quite a big thing for me personally, and because it was behind closed doors.
Is that the pandemic?
Yeah.
Right.
It was kind of like, my dad was like, he was gutted because he wanted to come and watch, so he was like, oh, I might buy like a security guard jacket and then like try and sneak down, but it wasn't allowed.
And were you nervous before the game?
Yeah, I was really nervous. I remember sitting in the changing rooms and just thinking, because some of them like had played for England before in like an under-15 like friendly. But for me, it was like my first time, so some of them weren't as nervous, but you're still not cemented in the team.
Mm.
So it was like an opportunity to prove myself, like in a game situation. It's completely different to training environment.
Are you playing in the same sort of position?
Yeah, I was playing in the holding midfield then, yeah.
So what kind of things are you responsible for on the pitch?
Like when we're building out from the goalkeeper, like supporting options, they had a real focus of switching from one side through me out to the other side, because like Ireland were pressing aggressively, and then once you beat the press, like it was so satisfying to beat the press on like multiple occasions just doing the big switch out.
I think people often especially when they're younger, they sort of think of football and they just want to be the person scoring the goal.
Yeah.
It sounds like you take quite a lot of pleasure from some of the more simple sort of rudimentary sides of football. How would you describe how your role sort of evolved as you got a bit older?
So it was quite when I moved up into the under-21s, it was a very competitive league. It was quite a difficult league to play in. For me, it changed when I was in the holding field. It changed from being more of like the game player to more out of possession stuff needed to like be worked on, like being more aggressive when they're on the break, like breaking up play, kind of like what Casemiro's coming at United and done.
Mm.
So yeah, it's definitely changed, but it's still really important, like making an option underneath the ball and like not being so direct. Like when you're in the youth age group, it's like basketball game, like end-to-end stuff, whereas it's more in the under-21s like dictating the tempo of the game, like not being so transitional.
I imagine the physical demands have changed on your body. Have you done any extra gym work? Do you do extra training to try and sort of build more of an engine?
Yeah, so at the moment I'm training like 4 times a week and playing two games a week with 2 gym sessions as well, so
wow,
it's like quite a big jump from what I've been used to. In the under-16s I trained 2 times a week with 1 game on a Saturday, and then jumping up to the under-21s I doubled my training sessions in a week and still had that game, so it was quite hard originally to keep up with the demands of the game physically.
How that was that like? Are you finding yourself like knackered after training sessions, having to eat loads more? How does it affect the other parts of your life?
Yeah, so it was hard because I was doing my A levels when I went up to the under 21. So I'd go to school in the day, like into college, and then I'd have to like, my dad used to drive me from straight from college to the train station. I'd like eat my tea in the back, like eat my lunch in the back of the car, get on the train. And there just wasn't a lot of time for like downtime and relaxing, because then when I'd come back in at like 8 o'clock, so I'd have to get the train home when I couldn't drive. I'd have to catch up on lessons that I'd missed in the day, so it was quite hard to like get enough sleep and eat enough. But I think I definitely got better at like coping with the demands. I think my body just got used to it.
I think it's good that you mentioned about school. Is that something that, was it difficult for you to keep on top of your schoolwork, or is it something that's important to you?
It was definitely difficult to keep up with it. It is important for me because I was doing A-levels and quite a lot of the girls were doing like the BTEC level 3 diploma in sport. So they were based at training, doing college and then just walking over to the pitch, whereas I was having to commute in. So it was hard when you got home from football and you just wanted to like watch TV or something, and you had to like catch up on the lessons that you'd missed in the day. So it was definitely hard, and especially with exams, like trying to find time to revise meant that I was revising on the trains, like on public transport, and then I think sometimes I missed like 3 sessions in total, like to revise and stuff, because it was getting too much.
But it was always important to you, basically, to keep on with your schoolwork.
Yeah,
that's good. So you made your debut at sort of under 16 level for England, is that right?
Yeah.
And then you moved up to under 21s not long after. How old were you when you moved into the under 21s of England?
So I moved into the 21s with United. I was 15 when I moved up.
Right. And what was the difference in intensity there? I imagine quite a big jump.
Yeah, it was intense because like you go from say doing 1v1s with like a 14-year-old or a 15-year-old to then me defending the goal when like a 19-year-old, 20-year-old's dribbling at me. And like they were much more powerful than me, much more explosive, because they'd been doing like gym work for 3-4 years and I hadn't. So it was definitely a jump, and it took me probably about the first 2 months to get used to it and actually think I'm at a level with these girls. Whereas when I went up, I thought like this is a different intensity to what I'm used to.
Did you have to adapt your game to sort of deal with that added physicality that they had?
Yeah, so usually when you take your first touch, like when I took my first touch, it was just a first touch. Whereas when I went up, it had to be my first touch takes me to a different place, because if I just took a touch, I'm just going to get hit from behind. Whereas I had to adapt to take my first touch to a different place, that like the defender wouldn't know where I was going.
Yeah, touch into space.
Yeah, because otherwise I'd like you'd just get pounced on straight away.
Wow. Yeah, makes sense. So you're with the under 21s of Man United, and then you sort of did a dual club sort of thing with Burnley first team. How's that gone?
Yeah, so this year I've been dual signed to Burnley first team and it's gone really well. It was a jump going to them as well, because it's playing with women who are a lot older and like more experienced than you, so it's good to learn from them as well. And then I'm now playing like 2 game weeks, so that's quite tough as well to keep up with. But yeah, I've definitely enjoyed it, and all the girls at Burnley are really nice as well.
What would you say has been the steepest learning curve going from sort of under 21s to first team football?
I would say probably like when you're in like leading positions, when you say you're 1-0 up or something, like seeing the game out. Because 3 points is huge in the league, and there's been a few times where we've like thrown a game away and like lost 2 points and ended up with a draw. So it's more like game management, like not trying to find that Hollywood ball in the last 5 minutes and just keeping it, really.
Yeah. And what's the atmosphere like in the dressing room after you lose points late on in a game?
It's a lot different, because in the Academy League, obviously no one wants to lose, but you can't get promoted or relegated from the Academy League. But with Burnley, because we're in the National League, like we want to get promotion this year. So when we do lose like points that we know were in our hands, it's quite frustrating. Like, a lot of the girls are quite frustrated because you kind of have to win nearly every single game to go up. And when you don't get the 3 points from games that you feel like you could have, it just, you know, it's just going to add pressure on at the end of the season when you're in the last few games and you think you've got to get like 3 points in all of these, and then like a result from someone else. Like, you'd rather it be in your control than having to rely on other teams to do a job.
Yeah. You touched on the National League there, and I know that the WSL and the National League, which is the Women's Super League, and then the what would be the Championship in men's football, the crowds that they're getting and the sort of the attention that they're getting is it's rocketing as the past few years, obviously helped by the Euros win. Where do you see the future for sort of women's football in the UK?
Yeah, it's definitely grown a lot. Like, I think it's going to be huge, especially after the Euros. Like, I've noticed, just from like walking down the street and people are talking about the women's game, which I've never experienced before. And then when, like, for me, when I'm playing for in the United Under 21s, we just get like we don't get many supporters, just maybe like 30, 40 people watching, mainly parents. And then you suddenly see when we were in the FA Youth Cup final, we had about 300 people watching, and it was just like, it was just surprising. But I definitely see it growing a lot. Especially in the WSL, the attendances are going through the roof at the moment, so it's definitely a good thing for women's football.
Yeah, I think with that, with the attendance and everything like that, with the more viewers that it's getting, the more money comes into the game. I know that the funding at the moment is a bit of an issue in women's football. How do you find it sort of with the sort of limited funding to obviously keep yourself as professional as you do?
Yeah, so it is hard. I've got a part-time job as a waitress just to try and earn extra money, because I'm at an age where like everything's costing more money, so I can't afford to not work and to keep up with football as well, so it's just to kind of supplement my football, really.
What keeps you motivated?
I think just having that goal of being a professional footballer. Like, at some point there will be a time where like I can just play football and do what I love, and that's kind of what keeps me going at the moment.
Do you think Sports for Champions can sort of help with that? Do you think we're obviously doing Sports for Champions events is going to give you another way to earn income, obviously, while sort of keeping in line with your sport?
Yeah, definitely, because it's so flexible, I can like tailor it around my training schedule, whereas when I've got other jobs, sometimes you can't, like, I've got training and a shift, and then you've got to make that decision, and I'm like annoying my employees and stuff by having to cancel the shift because I've got training. So it would definitely be able to like allow me to focus on my football, and then like in the evenings, instead of working, I can like focus on like my nutrition, my sleep, getting my recovery in. So it would definitely help a lot.
How is your nutrition? Do you take it quite seriously?
Yeah, so I try and like plan in advance, like meal prep and stuff, because I don't really have a lot of time to, like, when I'm out and about, like, I'd like to take food with me instead of eat stuff out, because I find that there's not really loads of like healthy options when you're trying to find food out. Like, so I try and plan ahead, and like we have nutritionists at United that help us a lot, like when we do a food diary, like telling us what we need to have more of, like what we need to eat less of. So it's definitely something that's quite important to me.
Are you super strict?
I wouldn't say super strict, not like want to cook my own food when my family cooks something.
Yeah.
But I definitely, like on the night before a game, I don't want to be eating something unhealthy. It's got to be pasta and stuff like that.
Have you got a favourite cheat meal?
I think it depends what kind of mood I'm in. I do like a curry. It's quite a good cheat meal.
Indian curry, yeah. What would you go for?
Oh, I'm going to get judged by this. I like a chicken korma.
Ah, it's weak sauce.
Yeah, but I do like spice. I like spicy stuff a lot, but I just like the taste of it.
I won't lie, I do as well, to be fair. I'm quite a coconut fan, so yeah, the sweet coconut.
Yeah, everyone else judges me for that.
Yeah, no, you're okay, yeah. Do you have a favourite sporting hero growing up?
I would say more when I was growing up, I was more focused on like playing the sport. I wasn't really thinking, oh, I could actually play football here. But more recently, like Iniesta and like Busquets, them type of players that were in my position, and then Ciara Walsh in my position as well. Like, I thought in the Euros she was really good. So
what is it about them?
I think it's like the unselfishness, like like they just keep the team ticking around. Like you won't really, a lot of the time you don't like notice them massively, but when you take them out of the team, like that's when you notice them, because they just like keep the team ticking, keep the ball moving, and then do them like then passes through the lines that it's often like the assists of an assist that not many people notice. So I quite like that.
Not a lot of people. So I've watched football, and a lot of my friends play football and watch football. A lot of people don't have an appreciation for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
What do you think it is that gave you that insight? What do you think it is that sort of gives you that understanding?
I think it's just from playing a lot of games. Like when I was in the team, like you always have like the wingers being like, oh, wingers the hard position or strikers the hardest position, and it's not until they play in your position that they understand like it's really hard to like receive when you've got your back to goal and having to try and manoeuvre around and play forward like as quick as possible and keep the ball moving. So yeah, I think everyone thinks their position's the hardest until they try a new one.
Do you have a favourite sporting quote?
I think I'd say you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah, what does that mean to you?
I think it's quite a lot about like stepping out of your comfort zone. Like if you don't go out of your comfort zone to do something, you won't benefit or strive forwards or gain anything from that if you're just keeping yourself in your lane. And I feel like that's kind of when I went to trial for United, that was like me taking a shot at something, whereas I could have just stayed in that grassroots team until like 15 when I wasn't allowed to play anymore. So it's just kind of like stepping out of your comfort zone, I'd say.
Have you got any advice for a young person maybe thinking of trying out a new sport or starting a career in sport?
I'd just say like if you're passionate about it and you work really hard, I feel like the sky's the limit. You can do anything you want to, really, if you just put everything into it and focus on yourself.
And would you have any specific advice perhaps for a girl looking to start out in football?
I think you're always going to have those people that say like you can't play football because you're a girl and something, but it's just to be resilient, like enjoy it, have fun, because if you're enjoying what you're doing, you're going to want to stick at it. So if you enjoy it and you work hard, then I think they can do anything. You can play football if you're a girl. Of course you can.
I think that's a great note to end it on. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. And thank you to everyone for joining us at home. It's been another fantastic episode of the Athlete Podcast, and we'll see you next time. See ya. Hi guys, hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, be sure to leave us a like and a subscribe, and check out all our other videos for some more great interviews and content. Bye.